Welcome to the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. To stay connected, go to revivaltoday.com. And now, here is Evangelist Jonathan.
I want you, if you have your Bible, open it with me to Malachi chapter 3. I want them to pop something up on the screen to illustrate something for you. Malachi 3. This is our income graph for the ministry. Not my personal income graph. That would be much higher. But sorry that I'm dressed like a popsicle today. Stem lime. Let me see the income graph on the screen. That is not a 40-year history. 2010, 121,000 for the year, and I was not part-time. I was preaching 46 weeks a year. So it's not hard work. Sometimes when I put on Instagram, I'll show, you know, if you follow me on Instagram, I put a nauseating amount of photos of my plane on there. You know why I do it? Because if you hide it, then KDK does an expose and 40% of your church leaves. I didn't know our money was going to that. So I just tell everybody everything so there's nothing to expose. Can you say amen? So when I put that on there, sometimes people say, you deserve that. You work hard. Prosperity is not a reward for hard work. There's people that work hard their whole lives. The average American has no savings and $200 in checking. And it's not because they all don't work. There's actually a system. I mean, I don't think I have to explain this to anybody, but I'm going to do it anyway. There's a system in place where you work morning till night, and the Bible says it's like you put it in a basket with holes in it. There's nothing to show for it. Work hard, there's nothing. Off at 6 in the morning to drop the kids off. Husband work all day. Wife work all day. Kids work part-time jobs and still behind with what? $8,000 of credit card debt or what? People, Pastor Dean worked in a different industry before he came here to the church. He worked with people's finances and getting them financing. People's finances are a mess, and it's not because of lack of employment. Keep the graph up on the screen. I'm not a young Tom Selleck. People are not like coming to church so they can look at me on the screen. $121,484.80. 2010. $337,461. We were praising God. That's triple. You know, that year, 2010, that we had 121,000, that's gross income. That's not profit. Do you know what our profit was that year? $7,200 for my wife and I. We got our taxes mailed back to us by the state of Virginia with a letter saying, please avail yourself to our services that we provide for people like you. I held the letter up and said to Adonis, hey, I just found out we're poor. I never felt poor. But then they told me, when the state feels sorry for you, you're poor. When the government mails your taxes back because they can't in good conscience take it, you're very poor. So then we go to $337,000 thinking, this is a miracle, triple. Then year three, 2012. By the way, the church started in 2020, so he wants our money. The church, this money was here before anybody was here, this building was here, anybody. I'm going to tell you how it got here. $525,000. Now we've gone up 5X in 2 years. Well, you can't double every year. Well, we are. Then I don't know what happened in 2013. Slight step backwards. But expenses were low, didn't matter. No, year five, $800,000. Almost another double. Year six, double again. 1.8 million. I never thought I'd see $1 million in my life. Remember, that's 10X 2010 to 2015. Surely that can't happen another year. Year seven, 2.8 million. Year eight, plateaus. Year nine, a little more. Year 10, a little more. We cracked 3 million for the first time. Then 2020, the lockdowns hit, and you can't have church with more than 10 people. And you think, son of a gun, I'm going back to year 2010. Think this was a nice little ride. I'll be fortunate if we have 100,000 come in this year because you're not allowed to preach. You can't do my job. And instead, $5 million, almost double. 2021, the year before we started the church, $7.7 million. 2022, start the church, $15.1 million. Last year, by $1,800, we cracked $23 million, which puts us in the top 2%, this church, in the top 2% of all nonprofits in the United States of America. And we're a two-year-old church. Now, if you say, well, he's talking all about money. Yes, I am talking all about money. Glad you were able to pick up on that. I don't know why the Bible has about 20% of it that deals with money, 33%. Preachers aren't supposed to talk about it. I've told you before, there's two areas they don't want you talking about as a preacher. Don't talk about politics and don't talk about money. And what consumes people's lives? The laws that are being passed to destroy a nation and the money. You know, preachers shouldn't talk about money. Why? So you can learn about it from people that teach you how to be in debt, that teach you about good credit and bad credit and good debt and bad debt from a leadership in a nation that's run by absolute morons. Who submits a budget with a $1.2 trillion projected deficit? If Patrick walked into my office and said, this is our projected budget for 2024, if you do everything I tell you to do, we're going to be $100 million in the hole. I'd say, I've really enjoyed having you here. You've done a great job. We're going to give you an ice cream cake with some candles, and you're going to have a good life somewhere. So you've had people teach you about money, but you haven't had people tell you God's word. Then you go to church where you're supposed to hear what the Bible says about everything. I wish he'd just preach the gospel. Preachers are commanded to not just preach the gospel. I shrank not back from declaring the whole counsel of God's word. There's not four books in the Bible. There's 66 books. Four are the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But God didn't just write about Jesus dying on the cross. He wrote about marriage. He wrote about raising children. He wrote about financial increase. He wrote about health. He wrote about alcohol. He wrote about parties. He wrote about how to choose friends. He wrote about how to discern people. I wish he'd just preach that. You know, anytime you hear a Christian say, I wish he'd just preach the gospel, I guarantee you 100% of the time, you're listening to somebody that's disobedient in one area of the word and doesn't want to hear that part and just wants to hear about how Jesus died on the cross. Is the whole message of the Bible Jesus dying on the cross and that's it? Then you get saved. Then we baptize you and hold you under the water till the bubbles start coming up or stop coming up, and then you go to heaven. No, after you get saved, there's a life here on earth. And the Bible doesn't just tell you how to get to heaven. It tells you two things, how to live life on earth, and two, how to live a life of overwhelming victory in every area that pertains to life. Can you say amen? So as they keep that up there, that is an astounding testament, not to the ability of me, by any means, I'm not saying that humbly. I'm telling you, if you went out to dinner with me today, there would be no, now I know I told the people that. Now, here's what I do. I look at that graph and throw my hands up and say, what a mighty God we serve. Because I'm the same at that little level. I'm telling you, at 2010, when we broke $100,000, I never thought we'd break $100,000. I was like freaking out. We broke $100,000. You know, because I was up from like, I was making, I think, $300 every 2 weeks, I think. $600, and I took $300 of that and bought radio time in Rhode Island to preach, which left me with nothing. So then you hit $100,000. I'm like, I've praised God. All the way, I kept waiting for the bottom to drop out and go back, and it just never did. And it keeps going, and it, you know. I think last week, just the offering at this church was about $200,000, which is more than came in the whole year in 2010. Now, I also didn't have 53 people working with me back then. It was just me and my sidekick, Adalis. But it's a miracle. I bring that up because I want to show, because people see you in your little lime green suit and chartreuse tie and think you're talking about tithing. I'm going to tell you why I teach you about tithing. Well, he needs our tithe dollars. Let me tell you something. If I took your whole family by the ankles and shook you upside down till all your money came out of your pockets, it wouldn't be enough to last this church 2 weeks. That's what the government doesn't understand. If you don't act properly, there's not enough money to sustain what you're doing. We need to tax the rich. How many know the rich need to pay their fair share? Two things. What's your fair share of what somebody legally earned? We need to tax those churches. You'll lose that money the same you've lost all the money. If you took every billionaire's assets, all their land, all their real estate holdings, and all their money, every billionaire, you took everything they had, all their stock holdings, it would sustain this year's budget for the United States for 9 months one time. It's not an income problem, it's a management problem. Can you say amen? So just remember that this election season, when these idiots come around and tell you what they're going to pay for you, where are they getting the money from? They don't have any money. They're broke. They're $31 trillion in debt. But God is not broke. He owns all the silver and he owns all the gold and he has a vested interest in getting it to his people. If you're one of God's children, can you say amen? All right, you can go back to me. I won't yell at you. That's 13 years. 100,000 to 23 million. But I do want to put that out there. You know, these guys, they want those people's money. If you came forward, if I so moved you with my speaking that you came forward with tears in your eyes and handed me a check for $1 million, I'm thankful for what everyone gives, but it's actually why if somebody comes up and hands $20, I felt to give this. You might as well just keep it. Do you know how much money we need? No. And if you give $1 million, I would do the same thing. I would say thank you on behalf of Jesus. Then I'd hold your hand and say, Father, I thank you for 100-fold return in their life. Because it's not people's giving that got me there. It was my obedience in the area of the tithe and offering that got me there. And so, say this out loud. Steps are repeatable. What God does for one, he does for anyone. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, Peter said, I see very clearly that God shows no partiality. In the King James Version, God is no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he does for anyone. One of the things you're to do when you read the Bible is telling you secrets that men stumbled upon or found by revelation that caused them to go from nothing to on top. Because the Bible says that's one of the things God delights in doing. He takes the beggar from the dunghill and sets him among princes. So Elijah, prayer. Daniel, prayer. Abraham, rapid obedience. Go down the line. Solomon, giving. Solomon so loved the Lord that night he gave. Well, you know what I've been doing? I've been like a little bumblebee taking pollen from all the different characters in the Bible and building my own honeycomb. Why pick one? Why not do Daniel's praying, Abraham's obedience, Solomon's giving, David's heart of praise for the Lord, and combine them all and experience an unstoppable blessing. I'm going to tell you what I told you when this month started. This month of April is going to be 30 days of God's miracles in the lives of this church in Fort Worth, you that are watching online and on television. If you believe it, can you say aloud amen? So let's go to the part of the Bible that preachers don't have the huevos to read anymore. Now we're gonna take our tithes. We don't talk about tithing. There's a box at the back if you feel to give. Did the temple have a box in the back if you felt to give, or did you give at the altar? Offerings are not a necessary evil. They're holy unto the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. Malachi 3. I am the Lord and I do not change. Verse 6. That's why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Ever since the days of our ancestors, you've scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me. Even when God's upset at your course of action, he tells you to return, like the prodigal son. He won't cut you off. Return to me, and I will return to you. What do you mean return? We've never gone away. This conversation is happening in church. This is a priest delivering this to congregants. This is not Jonah yelling it at pagan people in Nineveh. Now, if you'll return to God, he'll return to you. I'm in church. What do you mean? We never went anywhere. Oh, yeah. You have gone away from me. Should a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. What do you mean? When did we ever rob you? You have robbed me of the tithes and the offerings that are due to me. So according to the Bible, there is a tithe that's due God, and there is an offering that's due God. The tithe, do you know how many preachers I've had to explain this to? I'm talking seasoned preachers. Well, I don't tithe 10%, I tithe 23%. No, you don't. The tithe is 10%. You can steal some, but you can't give more. The tithe means the tenth. Then there's an offering on top of that. God determined the tithe. You determine, let each man give as he's directed by the Spirit, not reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver. Can you say amen? You've robbed me of the tithes and offerings. So bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there'll be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of hosts, see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. What did he say? Return to me in the tithe and offering, and that way I'll be able to keep the lights on at the temple, and I'll be able to fulfill my mission on the earth if you people could just quit being stingy and help me out. That's how it's presented in church now. That's never how God presented it. I want you to return to me because you've been under a curse, and I would like to bless you if you'll return to me in the tithe and the offering. See if I won't. Put that graph back up on the screen. That graph is the window. Now, you know why I'm showing this graph? Because people think this is like fake. Well, those preachers talk that stuff. Oh, no. I talk it and I have it. I'm not flying in a pretend jet today to go preach. I'm flying in a real jet that was given to me. I never paid for it. God dropped it off to complete my assignment. Because when you put God first in your giving, he'll give unto you what you could have never saved up in 100 lifetimes. I'm telling you right now, I don't have the capacity. I don't have the mental capacity. I don't have the physical capacity. This is my level. This is my level. But that's where I'm operating at because of God's hand. God's hand did not come by luck. It comes by deliberate obedience to the specific commands of God's word. You know, I was talking to a preacher, a full gospel preacher, and he said something I've heard my whole life. Because I said, does your ministry pay tithes? I notice you're always having to get bailed out. You're always on Instagram. We need 2 million by the end of the week. Do you tithe? Because I don't think you do. Because God said, if you tithe, the Lord is my shepherd. I will never lack. This ministry has never come 1 week and said, we need a new building. We need land. I haven't had the chance. When we needed a building, it was provided. Then I got here. They said, just so you know, the owner bought chairs. Who owns a soccer team and buys 1,000 chairs for a church? And then, so we don't have to tear down, installed these that can absorb soccer balls and footballs so that we can keep our stage up and have church. Why? I wouldn't do that for me. That's a tough look at, you know, I didn't build this for a church. I built, even if I was a Christian, which I am, I would say, listen, now I let you use the building till the soccer team needed it. That was the deal. Now soccer's ready. So kindly move along. Best of luck. Maybe even give like $20,000 so that it help you move you on the way. Now listen, what can we do so your people don't have to set up and tear down every week? That's a lot. What do you care? Everybody say favor. He encompasses the righteous with favor like a shield. And people forfeit this magnificent life to hold on to 10 cents on every dollar. I don't believe in the tithe. Yeah, but you believe in paying 11% interest to PNC Bank. And they don't open the windows of heaven. They'll come take everything you have if you're late on 2 payments. People are so in love with American debt, and they won't. God said, I have another way, that if you do it my way, you'll never have to sit in a mortgage office. You'll never have to apply to the loan. I'll make you to lend to many, and thou shalt not borrow. Can you say amen? See if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. This building got poured out. The first building got poured out. The next building is getting poured out. You wait till I tell you the next testimonies. We swim in abundance at this church, not from beating offerings out of people, but because this church, this ministry, did refuse to make some cobbled together excuse as to why we're exempt from tithing. So anyway, this ministry said, well, you know, ministers are exempt from the tithe. In the Bible, the Levites, the ministers, lived off of the tithe. How many of you heard that argument before? Preachers don't have to tithe. The church doesn't have to tithe. The people are to tithe. And then the church lives off the tithe. So when I heard it, I went on ChatGPT. Because I'd always heard that, but I couldn't think of any scripture where God told the Levites they don't have to tithe. So I said to ChatGPT, did God specifically exempt the Levites from having to pay tithes? ChatGPT kicked back out of the book of Numbers. No, they are specifically commanded to tithe. It's in the book of Numbers. I meant to print it out. Actually, I have it. I have it in my notes. Give me a second. Can't find it. I don't think I have internet either. In the book of Numbers, it says, the Levites are to be brought the tenth, and the Levites are to give a tenth of the tenth that's brought to them. It specifically, even ChatGPT knew, that preachers are not exempt from tithing. I've listened to preachers exempt themselves from tithing my whole life. You know, no, we are the Levites. We live on what the people bring. We don't have to tithe when the Bible told them they have to tithe. Now, I made up my mind. I'm not going to come up with some reason why I don't have to give. You know, then what you are is a Republican politician. You get other people to give and do with their money what you never do with yourself. That's what politicians do, Democrat too. Watch their income. They have to file their income statements. I think Joe Biden, and he's just one of them, gave $600 charitably last year. $600. He makes $400,000 a year on paper, and his son is an artist who sells his paintings for $500,000 a piece. A magnificent artist. $600 to charity. But then they'll travel around and lecture you on what you're to give. You need to give. You need to pay your fair share. But everything they do is on an expense credit card. And that's how preachers live. And many preachers live under the same curse that politicians live because they don't give. They teach people to give. The widow's mite. You might be a single mother. Down to your last $50. But if you'll give that $50, which is fine. But if you won't give and you tell other people to give, you are a hypocrite. Can you say amen? Everybody say, I'm not a hypocrite. Now, $15 million, we gave, what's the tithe on that? 1.5? We gave 2.7. Next year, actually, you could actually, what we gave, 10x the next year came back every time. $15 million? The tithe is 1.5. We gave 2.7. That's double. Next year, 23 million. You know what we gave from 23 million? What would the tithe be? Not everybody at once. What's the tithe on 23 million? 2.3 million. We gave 6.4, just under 6.5. And so this year, when I tell you understand this is just cash. That doesn't count the 24.8 acres. That doesn't count the $5.3 million building. That doesn't count free use of a plane and then the man giving me a second plane to use while that plane's in the shop. That doesn't count any of that. That's just cash, $23 million. And you know why I'm saying this? Because it irritates some people, and I hope some politician's watching me that's irritated about how much money churches have. I heard somebody say one time, that guy must have millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars, heading up to 100 million, my friend. And if you're angry at that, I'm just getting warmed up. I'm not even 50 yet. I have Abraham's blessing. Abraham wasn't moderately wealthy. Abraham was more wealthy than the kings that lived around him. That's the blessing that God has for you. Can you say amen? See if I won't open the windows of heaven. See if I won't. Try it and let me prove it to you. Malachi 3:10. You can put it back on me. Try it and let me prove it to you. See if I won't. Everybody say, see if I won't. It's the only place in the Bible God said, try it and let me prove it to you. See if I won't. What's the two things that happen when you tithe? I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that's so great, you'll never have enough room to contain what I'm giving you. We outgrew our first building. My plan was to outgrow it in 5 years. We made it to the end of the fourth month. Then we came here with a smattering of people with acres of space in this place. And Dag Haywood Mills told me in the summertime when he came to preach, God's going to give you power to fill that building. And it's full. There's nowhere left to park. We have to shuttle people in. We haven't been able to grow past 799, but I'm believing one day we're going to hit 800. How many of you are going to believe that with me? And that is in the face of every obstacle that's supposed to shrink a church. Not being able to have a permanent location, different midweek. Do you know how much this church is blessed? This church is so blessed that people have to put security guards to keep the overflow from our parking from spilling into their parking. They have to build fences because there's too many people. There's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people because God said he won't just pour out a blessing with money. Money, people, equipment, clothing, food. If you'll put me first, you'll never have to give a thought to anything that's on this earth. Now, if we grow like that with those limitations, what do you think is going to happen? When you park right by the church, shuttled in on a nice luxury coach, oh, yeah, I'm going to take, you think I've taken care of you up until now? You wait till you see how you're going to get taken care of. I'm a shepherd of a sheep, and I'm going to treat my sheep like David treated his sheep. Can you say amen? We're going to do something big for God. I told you, I'm just saying, some things I'm saying for the devil. I want him to hear me. That when we're all said and done, anybody that has no theological training whatsoever will just look at different houses of worship, and by looking at the church one will say, you would have to admit whoever they're worshiping must be the top god. Nobody could build a place. You think Rivers Casino on cursed money can build a nicer place than we can build? Do you think anybody operating on the devil, do you think cartels can build nicer things than God, than people that are under the blessing of Abraham? If you're in love with poverty, you like small, you like having five missionaries on the back of the church wall that are supported $5 a month, this is not your place. This is a place of people who are going to grab a hold of the blessing of God and shake Pittsburgh and shake Texas and have influence and honor and have wealth and riches and command the blessing of God in their generation. If you receive that today, take 15 seconds, clap your hands, all ye people. Make a joyful noise. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, I was looking for something that I wrote. So I did a search on Twitter because I think out loud on Twitter. And I was almost teary-eyed reading what I had written in 2010 and 11. Because I had stumbled onto this revelation at 120,000 that if I return the tithe to God, see that the wind, it would be impossible for me to stay at that level. So you would think these things were written now, but you're going to see most of them were written when me and Adonis were living in a very small apartment with very little money. Fast 8 days because there's no money to buy food. So we just, hey, rather than complain and whine, let's just fast. It's easy to stay on a fast when you don't have an option to buy food. But I was so intoxicated on this revelation that if I put God first in my money, he'll open unto me his good treasure. Deuteronomy 28 in the King James. If you'll hearken to obey. Everybody say obey. Obey. Yeah. Obedience is better than sacrifice. It's obey. It's the obedience. It's a check that God, well, I'll tell you what I wrote. Here's some revelation that I received from back then that took me to that graph. Satan fights, this is 2011 when I had no money. Satan fights the tithe and offering so hard because for many, it's his last remaining stronghold to keep them under the curse. Keep going. The final chain that binds many lives is the refusal to release the tithe and offering. Once you do, Satan's power in your finances is broken. Continue. Honoring God with the tithe and offering is a choice. When am I writing this? 2011. There's no you then. This is not me trying to get your tithe. There's no one even to get a tithe from. I had like 70 followers on Twitter just rambling about something that dropped in my spirit. Honoring God with the tithe and offering is a choice to esteem God, establish his kingdom on the earth, and live in continual financial abundance. Continue. The Christian life is one built on dying to self. It's hard to say you've died to self when you refuse to let go of 10% of your money. Continue. Resisting God in the area of the tithe and offering is a choice to rob God, hinder his work, and live under a financial curse. Continue. The tithe is not to get money to God. It's to document your covenant with him. Your tithe documents that you're in covenant with God. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Continue. A North American who doesn't tithe has many things they give more than 10% to that benefit them, but will not give 10% to benefit others. Continue. The person who claims they have given 100% to Christ but refuses to release 10% to his kingdom is insane. Continue. If you don't happily bring your tithe and offering to the Lord, you'll tearfully pay much more money somewhere else. Hashtag therapy, hashtag pharmacy, etc. Continue. No tithe and small offerings. Your signal to God that you couldn't care less if people go to hell. Continue. Prosperity in ministry. Tithe personally. There are no exceptions to the law of gravity. There are no exceptions to the law of tithing. 2013. I would write stuff like this and I'd have other preachers say stuff to me like, yeah, I saw your car you're driving with I don't think your tires are even legal, are they? Pastor Dean knew me back then. I was writing this. I didn't have it. People could mock all they want. They had reason to. Don't you live in those apartments? We lived in apartments in Bangor, Maine that were an assisted living center that had too many people die. Too many old people died, more than they projected. So they had more rooms open than old people. So they rented out some of the rooms as apartments. Me and Adonis lived in a 600-square-foot apartment in a assisted living facility. Our neighbors were in their mid-hundreds. One guy was like a veteran from the French and Indian War. It flew. That's why the Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing, for you will reap a reward if you don't give up and quit. The devil at that phase is in your ear left and right. And if you had all that tithe money back, holy moly. If I had my tithe money back from 2010, $10,000, it would be gone before the end of this sermon. Patrick's not here. I don't even know what we pay. First of all, the man who owns this building didn't charge us anything to use it. He said, just pay what you want, but I found out what other people pay and pay that and more. In fact, every time I've run over 1 o'clock, I've paid the month's rent for whoever uses it after us as reparations. So I pay. I think this thing costs $10,000 a week. If not, it's close. $7,000, $8,000. I mean, it wouldn't even, if I had that money back, the fuel to fill that jet up with fuel is $17,000. If I had to pay that 9 years ago, I would have just immediately had a massive heart attack and died. But that's not my problem. Just put me first. And if you will, all the other things that I know you need and that I know you have a desire in your heart for, I'll just add them to you. Just remind me with your giving that you remember that it's me that's doing it, not you. Continue. The tithe and offering were not instituted to help God. They were instituted to help you. Continue. One thing you must resolve to do in 2013, which if you've missed this, it's a little late now. Destroy poverty, lack, and debt in your life through an unwavering commitment to the tithe and offering. Continue. Refusing to tithe. The best way of telling God, thanks for nothing. Continue. Because the tithe causes God to rebuke the devourer, there's no question as to whether you'll pay 10% of your income, only where. You know, we've had our car break down one time since we started tithing. My wife's car broke down on the way into our driveway and it coasted to a stop in front of the garage. So we didn't have to call AAA. We just went in the house. Amen. Continue. Did Melchizedek have to explain his ministry needs to Abraham to get him to tithe? Or did Abraham understand the covenant power of tithing? Continue. There is no job, career, education, promotion, or position which can match an open heaven over your life through the tithe and offering. Continue. This is still me talking like a billionaire when I'm a hundredaire. One day soon, look what I knew in my spirit in 2016. One day soon, your tithe will be more than your current annual salary. And we already blew past that a long time ago, because that's only a tenfold increase, and God said he's the God of the hundredfold increase. I tell every person in this place, without reservation, if you commit to God with your heart and your money, one day soon you will write one tithe check for more than your current annual salary. Let's say, you know, that's insane. No, it's not. He said it produces 100-fold, right? So what's 10x? If you make $74,000 a year, okay, let's say you make $111,000 a year. Let me pick an easier number because I got a C in math. Let's say you make $100,000 a year. And you go up to $1 million like I just showed you I did on that graph. It just happened. It just happened. I actually took less time on the offering. I focused on it less. You'd have people wait for you. Excuse me. My wife and I wanted to bring this to you. I told you last year, I was preaching in a church. They said, how much do you want for an honorarium? I said, I don't do that. I don't agree to a fee before I come and speak. Then I'm like a microphone holding prostitute. You pay me, I preach, and then I leave. No, I said, just nothing. Okay, thank you for being a blessing. So I walked, laying hands on everybody, and a lady stepped out of the line, this is in another state, and handed me a check before I could pray for her. I never said anything about money. I preached on healing and laid hands on the sick. I said, thank you, put it in my jacket, kept praying for people. As I'm getting undressed at night, I feel paper in my pocket, take it out, and it's a check for $40,000. Now, every other speaker got $10,000. So if I would have asked for 8 or 15, they'd say, is it okay if we do 10? I asked for none. You can't not bless me. I'm not out trying to get blessing. Blessing's out looking for Jonathan. And I'm telling you, this month, you're going to notice a change. That trouble used to find its way to your door, but the same way trouble used to find its way to your door, the unbridled blessing of God is going to find its way to your house in Jesus' name. Continue. Two curses no minister can pray off you. The curse for withholding the tithe or offering, the curse for disobedience to the commands of God. You can't pray the leprosy off Gehazi. Continue. When you refuse to tithe, 100% of your income isn't sufficient. When you tithe, 90% becomes oversufficient because the devourer's gone. Continue. Tithe in proportion to your income, give offerings in proportion to your dreams. Continue. The tithe, proof that you haven't mistaken the hand of God for a personal achievement. And I'll stop there. The tithe, proof that you haven't mistaken the hand of God for a personal achievement. Today, when I give my tithe to the Lord and my wife, which by the way, we tithe off the ministry, then we receive a check, and then we tithe off of that. The ministry's for ministry, that keeps the ministry blessed. The personal is for personal, that keeps us blessed. If God made me a multimillionaire, $11 million in the bank, it's enough to sustain this church for 5 months. I'd run out of money. So both things have to have his blessing. Can you say amen? It's not, it's so simple that people have to come up with creative ways not to do it. That was in the old covenant. Mm-mm. No. Hebrews isn't in the old covenant. Hebrews is in the new covenant and has a better revelation on tithing than Malachi does. It was written to Hebrew Christians in the new covenant that when you tithe, you're following Abraham, who tithed not to Levi, he tithed to Melchizedek before Levi was born, and Melchizedek's priesthood is forever. The tithe is a forever part of the covenant. Say this out loud. Where my treasure is, there my heart will be also. I've never seen anybody leave church and continue to tithe. I'm not going there anymore, but obviously I'm going to keep tithing. No. When your money checks out, your heart's checked out. So one of the blessings of tithing is not just the money, it's the reason God instituted it. Now, I showed you that graph. What would happen today if I said, now listen, Jesus, I have a lot of bills to pay. We have a lot we're looking to do. I have 53 employees now. I'm doing a lot. We need to build a building. So obviously it's not feasible to give $3 million, which is our projected tithe this year, not counting offerings, $3 million. We can't give that away. Obviously, we tithed on $100,000. That was $10,000. Now we're talking about a lot of money. So I that's how you hear preachers and churches talk. When I hear them talk, I think, no wonder you're screwed. We decided. I thought we should. Can you, in the media, which you guys have done a great job, so I'm not trying to mess things up. Can you pull my dad's mission statement off of his website? Listen to how my father at 65 talks. He talked like this his whole life. When I was a teenager, I thought he was like nuts. He would say we. He would always say we. We're going to Rochester to preach. He had no employees. I said, Dad, who's we? You sound nuts. You sound like you have like a mental problem. We're going. It's just you. He said, no, it's me and God. He would talk like Jesus was actually real. Like Jesus was going with him to Rochester, New York. So I look on his website. Listen to the language. Our goal, independence upon God. Our goal is to lead 1 million people to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our mission, independence upon God. Our vision, preach the gospel, independence upon God. Mobilize the church, independence upon God. Equip the next generation, independence upon God. We live in the most, I don't need. You know what Revelation 3 says about our generation? You say, I'm rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you're poor and wretched and blind and miserable. I built. You will never hear me say, if you hear me say it, take a 357 and put it in my chest. I built two churches. I'm thinking about building. I didn't do anything. I had crooked legs and a speech impediment. My life is a testimony that God can take the lowest of the low and raise them on high above all the nations of the earth. Those pilots of the planes we used to rent, we're astounded. You want some alcohol? We have this, the finest alcohol. I'm told. I want to know what's what from mouthwash. I've never had any. I never will have any. You don't believe in drinking? I don't. Why not? Because I've been around people who drink. The more I'm around them, the less I want to. Be some loudmouth idiot at an Applebee's. I'm all set. Steelers need to get the offensive line fixed. All right, I'm going to stay on the path I'm on, my friend. Enjoy being the pretend general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Independence on God. I'll close out the tithe and offering with this. Go to Deuteronomy 8:17. I'm not teaching this today to try to get you to tithe. I'm teaching it more to get you to quit giving anything if you're not going to tithe, because you'll just be frustrated. The tithe and offering is not to help this church. Nobody in this room, counting me, is big enough to do that. The tithe and offering is so God's people aren't having their children taught by wicked people on school boards and wicked people in government shaping their laws, because they've trashed the money, and now the Bible says there's a law. The rich rule over the poor. I don't think that's fair. Doesn't matter what you think. It's a law in the universe that the rich rule over the poor. So if Christians refuse the money blessing part of God, it guarantees they will be ruled in their nation by wicked people who have the wealth that was supposed to be in their hands and write their laws for them. And that's exactly where they're at right now. But I am spearheading a spiritual revolution in America where part of it is the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. I am looking at the new generation of American leaders in this place that aren't going to be dictated by wicked people. They're going to do the dictating by the might of God, by the blessing of Abraham. If you know that's you, let God hear your hand clap and shout. Come on, announce it to the devil. Deuteronomy 8:17. Don't ever say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth thee power. Hallelujah. Power to get wealth. Power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. We paid off two of the members of this church's homes at Christmas. Just called them up and said, hey, just so you know, we're paying off your house. One guy said thanks and hung up, then called. And then I worked it out with Patrick where they want to be, you know, hit with a massive tax bill. So the house isn't paid off because they're doing it. But they'll never make another payment on their mortgage. But I also didn't want to stick them with an $80,000 tax bill for Christmas. You know, that would be like a mixed blessing. Pastor paid off our house. Now we can't eat. And our children have old clothes. Yeah. You know, I did that for fun. Because they're I quit worrying about money ever like a year and a half ago. I've tried to run out. I can't run out. Every time I thought I could, the Lord got, you know, I was at a church of 130 people in Europe, and a guy comes up and gives a check for €1 million. He's not even a Christian. That was in 2016. You know, I've tried. I can't. I can't not have. You know what Jesse Duplantis told me? He got that new plane, the Falcon 7X. He's never filled it up with fuel one time. Every airport he's landed at, a businessman said, that's a great plane. Mind if I top off the fuel for you? Five different cities since he bought it, last time I talked to him. The guy didn't know who he was and wasn't a Christian. It's called favor. I don't fill people's cars up with gas, let alone a freaking plane. Hey, you mind if I fill the gas up? I got an extra 31,000 laying around. It has a massive tank. It can fly to Europe and back on one tank of gas. Favor. You know why he... you know. I hang around different people than the people that don't understand what I'm talking about. Jesse Duplantis was driving by a worthless piece of land in Louisiana about 20 years ago. And the Lord said, buy that land. He bought it. There is no use for it. Louisiana is swamp. You can't farm on it, can't build on it, can't nothing. And it became the largest natural gas fuel farm in the state of Louisiana. He fills his plane up for 20 cents a gallon. That's like 1890s prices. 20 cents a gallon. He flew on that jet. When he flies here to Pittsburgh to come preach, it costs less than a first-class ticket, one first-class ticket on a commercial flight. USA Today, how can a preacher spend all that money? He's not spending all that money. You're stupid. See, you think as somebody under a curse. That's why when preachers have nice watches and stuff, they must steal out of the offering. See, a cursed person can't understand the blessing. These people say people give them Rolexes. Oh, yeah. You know, I just had in Georgia, a young man came up to me and gave me, I meant to bring it today because I'm not going to wear two like Diego Maradona, so I'm going to do something else with it. I'm going to sell it. Rolexes increase in value. He gave it to me with tears in his eyes. He came to the service the next day with the same Rolex that's slightly upgraded, nicer. Someone gave him the same watch, but the better one that he wanted the next morning. He came with tears in his eyes this time, but they were happy tears. See, people think what they want. I am so done. It's one of the reasons I'm always happy. I'm done caring what people think. I care what the Word says. And if the Word says the blessing of the Lord makes a man rich, then I'm going to be rich. And if the Bible says the wicked will see it and will gnash their teeth with rage, then you better ready to have some bloody gums, my friend, because I'm just getting warmed up. And I tell you in Jesus' name, you're just getting warmed up. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, will become the order of the day for Revival Today, church. If you receive that today, clap your hands one more time. Bring the singers back up. I'll give you a chance to fill out your offering envelope. He took over 40 minutes on the offering. To a dumb person, that's what I just did. What I did was I taught on the tithe, and now we're going to take about 90 seconds to receive the offering. But I'm not a proper pastor. You're actually doing people a disservice as a minister to try to get them to give if they're not tithing. Because let me tell you something. If you're going to give 7% instead of 10%, if the IRS tells you that you owe $31,000 and you say, I'll give you $18,000, you're going to go to jail, so you might as well just keep the $18,000. And I'm telling you what no other pastor will probably tell you. They used to tell them, but they don't do it anymore. If you're not going to tithe, might as well keep it. God doesn't want $5-$6 chipped in. God doesn't want $600 chipped in. See, if I gave $1,000 in the offering, to most people it would look big. God would go, what's that? That's what you used to give in 2010. I've changed your level 19 times and you're still giving like level one. What is that? Now it's you, huh? Now you need the money. You forgot. Your tithe documents that you have not forgot that the hand of God is what has sustained you. While you're filling that out, let me get a couple other things off my chest. I've never really seen God bless me. Oh, yeah? Are we having this conversation right now with you in the intensive care unit? You're a thankless person. Forget the watch. And I have breath. I have a brain. I have a mouth. I have legs. You can find an endless amount of things to thank God for. Everything I have, including the hand I used to write the check, God gave me. How come it's not drawn up and withered? How come I didn't have a stroke? I can't use it anymore. He gave me. You want 10%? I'd give you 100%. So if you want 10, I feel like I'm getting quite the deal. If that Bible said to bring 100% of everything you own every Sunday, 100% of everything I own would be at the altar. And if nothing came back, then I'd be in tighty whities the next Sunday. Till the police came, or the owner of this facility said, listen, our deal of you using this place has now changed. Because when I knew you, you used to wear pants. I don't negotiate with God. I don't do that. Whatever you say, boss, it's not a problem. Hallelujah. Hold your seat up before the Lord. If you're giving online, revivaltoday.com. You click give now. Now, when you release this, I want you to be ready for what's going to happen. Because God didn't just tell you to do it. He said, when you do, see if I won't. Everybody say, see if I won't. And he will. You'll have your own graph. Everybody in the sound of my voice that's even seen some measure of success, I'm telling you, you're going to get ready to blow that out of the water. What no eye has seen. You're going to be walking around with your jaw open. You and your husband, you and your wife. Did you hear? You're going to have a goal. In Jesus' name, you're going to have start to happen to you what happened to me, where you're going to make a goal that you think's a big goal. One year, I made these massive goals for the ministry, and they were all done by March. And the Lord said, what now? You thought that was going to take me all year with you praying and no prayer. Here you go. What else? What else is in your heart? Tell me what you want. You put me first, I'll give you all the desires of your heart like that. Or you can keep it and then just always try to get what doesn't belong to you. Amen. RevivalToday.com, you click give now. I'll give you online 30 more seconds to do that if you're looking for your wallet or whatever. 60 seconds. Praise God. There's a ministry that I'm acquainted with. They had a part in my life. They've never tithed. They've been in need for 100 straight years. You go back in the archives. They were raising money in 1930. They were raising money in 1950. They were raising money in 1970. They don't get it. I mean, I don't know how you can be that thick-headed. Hey, instead of praying and fasting and writing letters and getting consultants to raise money, why not just do what God said? Instead of always digging ourselves out of a grave. You will never dig yourself out of a hole for the rest of your life. You will never play from behind again. From today, before any need arises, personally or in business, the finances will be there ahead of time, just like it's always worked for this ministry. The chairs were there. The building was there. This has to be the only church in church history that had a building before they had a Sunday service. Paid for. Done. No offerings taken. You walked into that church, it might as well have been 25 years old. There was everything there. There were ushers there. There was security there. There were world-class musicians there. All there on day one. Before any need arises, the provision will be there ahead of time. God will make it where you never play from behind again in Jesus' name. I said, God will make it where you never play from behind again in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, can you shout yes? I saw four people leave. Good. Go find a church where they have baked bean dinners for $4 a plate. Go to some place where the youth group charges $4 a kid to cover the cost of the pizza. We need the youth to bring $4. For what? Because one of you doesn't have faith to buy 5 medium pizzas? Bunch of cheap sons of guns. I detest that. I detest that type of Christianity. I hate it with all of my heart. It's fake. We're going to be sending our kids to youth camp. If anybody could sponsor some of our teens so they can go, give me a break. The church I was just at in Georgia, there's a guy, his name's Billy Smith. That's the most Alabama name in world history. Unless his name was like Champ Smith. It's the second most Alabama name, Billy Smith. He ran a cooling company. Actually, he was a police officer when I first met him, making $34,000 a year. Then he started an HVAC company that brought in $100,000 a year. He came to our business of ministry in Canonsburg in 2013 and began to tithe. He's now a that HVAC company is through the roof. They were just signed to provide all air conditioning units for every school, either in Alabama or Georgia. Blowing up. So you know what he did? How much do the kids need for youth camp? It's going to be about $31,000. Here's $31,000. You know, you don't have to get people like that to give because they know who took them where they're at. And you're going to know who took you where you're at. And tithing is going to be the easiest thing in the world because you're not. I know I've said one more thing like 9 times. Do you know why paying taxes sucks? Because you're giving a bunch of money to somebody that not only in no way has helped you, they've hindered you. Okay, so the permit guy that came to shut my business down, I have to pay him money for helping me to lose business? Oh, I need to pay taxes to the Department of Health that shut my restaurant down for 6 months? It's irritating. If you're watching from the IRS, I paid it, so relax. But then people carry that same attitude to God because they don't believe he's ever helped them. I got to help the church. You know, I got to help that minister. They don't see it as connected to their life. If you'll see that the Lord is your help, it's a joy to give him what's his because it's not for him to keep to help pay off the streets of gold. It goes into his hand and like the loaves and fish comes back multiplied, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hold your seat up before the Lord. Father, I thank you for a 100-fold return on every tither and giver today. Every business that begins to take you up on your deal, the insane deal of taking 10% of their revenue and using it to build the kingdom of God. I pray that their business would Rockefeller explode in Jesus' name. Raise up a new generation of Colgates, Rockefellers, Who else? Who? Mellon? Who else? Hirsch? All these men that built America with massive wealth. J.C. Penney? Tither? J.C. Penney's a tither. They weren't able to close his store down in the Washington Mall for over 30 years, even though no one went there. That's the tithe, my friend. Store stayed open without any sales for 3 decades. By the way, whoever's weren't running the Washington Mall, good work. I pray you'd raise people up like that out of this assembly. I pray out of this assembly, you would raise people like that up that have a heart for the kingdom of God and prove it in their giving. And then as they do, you take them where no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what's never entered into the heart of man. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Now listen, since that message had a little bit of a scolding feel to it, let's sing a happy song. Doesn't even have to be a Christian song. Just make it a happy song. It can be happy birthday. It can be the Canadian national anthem. Something happy. Go ahead. Sing something happy. Go ahead. This Sunday, give the Lord Jesus another great hand clap. Give him a great shout. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hey, Nick, the sound's 10 out of 10. Great job, buddy. Give my friend Nick Hancher, who left high school to come work at the ministry at 17. Come here. Switched from school to homeschool so he could come work at our ministry. At 17, back when that graph was little.
Love you.
I love you. Congratulations on your baby.
Thank you.
God bless you. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Deuteronomy chapter 28. We had 115 people come to the altar to receive Jesus Christ last week in the Sunday service. 407 on Saturday. This church has been experiencing a massive intake of people. So I wanted to take this Sunday. Last Sunday we did straight evangelism. Why do so many people believe in Jesus? I want to speak to people about now that you're saved, how to avoid hell, make heaven, and have a lot of fun along the way. That's what the Bible teaches. Deuteronomy 28:1. If you fully obey the Lord your God, and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit basket and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you'll be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They'll attack you from one direction, but they'll run from you in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. That's reserves. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's giving you. Giving you land. That's land ownership. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people as he swore he would do. Then the heathen will see it. People that don't even believe in God will be able to tell that you're claimed by the Lord and they'll stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you prosperity. I don't believe in prosperity. Well, rip that page out of your Bible then. It's right there. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send his rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many, but thou shalt not borrow. Say out loud, I will lend to many, but I'll never borrow. If you, it doesn't sound like you believed it. I'm going to keep reading. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today and carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and never the tail. You'll always be on top, never at the bottom. You must never run away from any of the commands I'm giving you today or follow after other gods and worship them. How to avoid hell, make heaven, and have fun along the way. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Sorry for all the Bible reading today. Next week we'll make up for it. We won't have any Bible. I'll just have my wife read like a poem that she wrote when she was depressed and then wave a flag and blow a shofar. But just some Bible today. Mark 4, verse 1. This is what I would teach you if you were my child, like I really cared about you. Mark 4, 1. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling many stories in the forms of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across the field, some fell on a footpath and birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted and grew and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100-fold what had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Then the disciples said, what were you talking about? Jesus told them, if you can't understand this, how will you understand the other parables? Verse 14, the sower sows the word. The farmer plants seed by speaking God's word to others. It's hard for me to stick to my notes. Because that verse, that's what the Lord told me about like 6 years ago. The sower sows the word. Spend all your time sowing the word. Tell people the Bible. So I don't have board meetings. We have one a year to fulfill IRS obligation. I hear all these ministers. We have our monthly board meeting. What are you doing? The Pittsburgh Penguins don't have a monthly board meeting. Fortune 500 companies that have billion-dollar budgets don't meet every month. You got to sit around with eight guys in a room eating donuts for 3 hours a month? Say with me, the sower sows the word. The Lord told me if you'll do what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? Run around praying for people? No, he prayed for people. The multitude followed him, and he taught them the word. The Bible is where the power's at. Can you say amen? The farmer plants seeds by talking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once. Everybody say Satan comes at once to take it all away. Where are the 500 people that got saved? Some of them are here. Where's the other ones? I told every last one of them be here on Sunday. Where are they? Enemy came at once. People can't spot the enemy. My boss switched my shift to Sunday morning. Are you that dense that you can't tell? You made a decision to give your life to the Lord and all of a sudden your work schedule got shifted? People don't get it. There's a fight for your soul. I said there's a fight for your soul. I was preaching in Georgia last week, and ladies came from a Christian drug rehab. They were locked in on my preaching, sitting at the edge of their seat. And when I gave the altar call to come to Jesus Christ, they lifted their hands. The head of the group home, it was 9:27 I didn't know they had to be home at 9:30 or whatever. They lift their hands and their Christian leader taps them on the shoulder, goes like this and motions for them to get in the van. I said, are you kidding me right now? I said, you're a Christian leader? And these women, let me tell you something. If you looked at them, they weren't recommitments. They were first timers. People that had been in prostitution last week, hearing the gospel that wanted to give their life to the Lord, crying, Christian leader. Yes, it's 9:30. I said, are you kidding, lady? And I said, all you ladies that lifted your hand, you listen to me. She's not in charge of you anymore. I'm in charge of you. You do what I tell you. And I said, if they kick you out of that program, I'll send you to a better program and pay for it myself. You come to this altar and give your life to Jesus Christ. And I told that lady, I said, if you're thinking about sending the pastor an email tomorrow, remember, it wasn't the pastor that did it, it was me. And I said, I'll give you my number. You can text me. My number is 857-530-99. It's all on video. You can watch it. My name's Jenny. I say there's a fight for your soul. I've had to stand against that crap for 21 years. Tornado warning go off at the altar call. The tornado warning went off in Pennsylvania. Can't remember where, York, Pennsylvania. I'm giving the altar call, tornado warning goes off. First of all, if the tornado's coming, you've been warned, you're going to die. There's nothing to do. There's not a bathtub that can hold a church full of people. So it's just finished. You get to hear a siren before you go land in North Dakota. So the Lord gave me what to do. There was a side door like where it says Field 3, except it was an openable door. I opened it and I yelled, hey, quiet, I'm preaching. And the whole crowd laughed and then the siren went away and it kept going. That was when that lady got out of the wheelchair. She's in heaven now. And her husband publishes all our books. See, that was the devil. Folks, we're having an emergency. No. I'll finish preaching when I finish. The tornado doesn't get to pick when I finish preaching. Can you say amen? I've even thought of that. What if somebody calls in a bomb threat? Do I have to stop preaching and evacuate? Well, if I don't, I could just say, no, or I'll stay in here. But then if you blow up, then I'm the worst person on planet Earth. So I talked it over, and the Lord gave me an idea. That's why Jeff has that dog that's a bomb-sniffing dog. This property is secured. You hear all these threats that ISIS is planning an attack against houses of worship? I've been planning for you. You come on this property, your Toyota Tacoma, your 1984 Toyota Tacoma is going to be in rough shape, my friend. You're going to get shot, bit, punched. And that's just from the old ladies that are here. Amen. Amen. Oh, you like that. That's how you get a crowd in Pennsylvania on your side. Talk about murder. All right. I wasn't big on the tithing part, but I like this murdering guy. Everybody say the sower sows the word. That's why we read so much Bible here. His word is a life-changing force. Some people, that Satan comes and takes it at once. Some people, they sprout quickly, then they don't last long. Some people, the seed that fell on the thorns represents others that hear God's word, but all too quickly, listen to this, the message is crowded out. By what? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll? Nope. The worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for nice things. See, anybody that missed church today because they have to work, but I have to work. I got bills to pay. The worries of life. You think God's an idiot? You think he has an IQ of like 19? Oh, I didn't know you have rent due. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. No, if you put me first, the same way birds don't worry, the same way flowers don't worry, you won't have to worry. I will take care of your needs if you put me first. And the seed that fell on the good soil, everybody say that's me, represents those that hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, and 100-fold what was given. My first and second grade teacher sits on the first row most weeks. You can't tell me part of the reason she's here and that she has a little smile the whole time I'm speaking is because when I was 7, she sowed God's word. She was my Christian school teacher. We had a Bible class. She sowed the word. And so she can't sit and think, what did my life ever amount to? No, not that I'm the totality of your life's work, but you had a massive role. The thing that I just did, read the Bible, I was unable to do that before I met her. She taught me to read the Bible. And now, other kids may have received that and fallen off and are on their way to hell, but she knows of at least one that she sowed that into. He took it, and now it's produced 30, 60, and 100-fold the seed that was sown. That is what I'm preaching for. See, I would say most churches, they expect you to be a struggler. They teach you how to make it. I preach high to you. You don't want to tithe. You like having a ride to church, and you like asking on Facebook, does anybody know where I can get a couch? If you like that kind of living, you won't like it here. I'm not preaching for beggars. I'm not preaching for people, if you are a beggar, not to remain a beggar. I actually believe that you can be the best in your generation. I'm not preaching for sidewalk soil. I'm not preaching to shallow soil. I'm not preaching to thorny ground soil. I am preaching to you with an expectation that wherever you are right now, you're not going to stay there. The word is coming into you, and God's going to make you somebody that produces 30, 60, and 100-fold for his kingdom in Jesus' name. If you receive that, clap your hands and give the Lord a mighty shout. Let him know that you're interested. Somebody say, I produce. Genesis 26. Genesis 26. How do you make it where you're not a blip on the radar? Somebody came to an altar once, comes back 3 years later because you're losing everything. I need prayer. You don't need prayer. You need to obey the word. But if nobody's told you the word, then you don't know what to obey. Genesis 26, 1. A severe famine now struck the land as it happened before in Abraham's time. So Isaac moved to Gerar, where Abimelech, king of the Philistines, lived. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, don't go down to Egypt, but do as I tell you. Live here as a foreigner in this land, and I'll be with you and bless you. I hereby confirm that I will give all these lands to you and your descendants, just as I solemnly promised Abraham. That's why if you're trying to take Israel from the Jewish people, you're wasting your time. Your father, I will cause your descendants to become as numerous as the stars of the sky, and I will give them all these lands. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. I will do this because Abraham listened to me and obeyed all my requirements. I'll do this because your father listened to me, obeyed my requirements, obeyed my commands, obeyed my decrees, and obeyed my instructions. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. Don't go to Egypt as your father did, but stay in this land and I will bless you. Turn to Genesis 17. Back a little to the left. Genesis 17, 1 to 8. When Abram was 99 years old. Everybody that's over 70, say, God's not finished with me. Now say it in a tone of voice like he's actually not finished with you. Say, God's not finished with me. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life, and I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. At this, Abram fell face down on the ground. Then the Lord said to him, this is my covenant with you. I want you to say this out loud. I don't serve Santa Claus. I serve El Shaddai. He's not dishing out presents down for nothing. He is a covenant God. A covenant is a well-defined agreement between two parties. When you do your part, God's hand is committed to do his part. Can you say amen? I'm only saying this because some of you may have wandered in here from churches where, what do you do when you don't see God's hand working, when you're going through seasons where, what are you talking about? If I do what God said, there's no season. You know how people prophesied to me, you're going to go through a season of blessing. Can you give me the date when the season ends so that I can throw myself off a building? When the blessing's going to stop and then I go back under the curse? Where do you get all this season talk? I want to know, where do you get the season talk? I mean, right now we're going through kind of like a testing season. What are you talking about? You know what Psalm 1 says? I'm going to skip to Psalm 1. Let me finish 17. Because there's another important part. 7. I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. This is an everlasting covenant. I will do what I did to you, to your descendants, forever. It'll never end. Verse 9. Then God said to Abraham, your responsibility. Everybody say my responsibility. If you'll hone in with me for the next 20 minutes, I know I talked a lot. This is life-changing. This will make you where you're never on a prayer list. You only pray for people. If you do what your responsibility. The foolish Christian asks, why hasn't God done X? The wise Christian scours the word and says, what is my part of the covenant to perform? What do you do between the season of when you sow and when you're waiting for your harvest? I've never done that. I just sow and act on the word, and then the stuff comes from everywhere. I don't give an offering and then like, there's this harvest coming. I am not concerned in any way about God doing his part. He never fails. He's a faithful God. Can you say amen? He's too faithful. You know Adalys, my crazy Puerto Rican wife, got the idea, reading the Bible, visit the prisoner. I was in prison and you never visited me. Adalys said, you know, I've never gone to prison and preached to the people there. I'm going to go. So she starts preaching in prison, right? I can't say who it is. One of the top cartel guys, if I said his name, most of you, unless you've been living in a cave, would or you live out where I'm going to preach tonight in Lancaster and churn your own butter, which I'll see you get. Well, how do you even announce that you're going to go preach in Lancaster? Nobody has the internet. I'm coming to Lancaster. Hear ye. I make this decree this 7th day of April. Yeah, I hope there's plenty of parking for the donkeys. My wife goes to preach, and the right-hand man, the top assistant to one of the heads of the Mexican drug cartels, is in that prison. And he's disinterested. But then when he hears my wife start speaking Spanish, he gets interested, and then he gives his life to the Lord, crying. My wife goes to preach this week. She just keeps going back. This is the 3rd week. So she goes this week. Everybody's out of town. So it's just her preaching in the men's prison violent offender unit. You know, not the best situation to be in. So you think, well, that's not safe. That guy got so touched by her preaching. He greeted her warmly, and then he sat by her the whole time. Nobody gave her a problem anyway, but no one's really going to give him a problem. Because that's his sister now. Thank you for leading me to the Lord. Got a Bible, got the books, and is reading them. That's the blessing of God. That you can go in as a 5'4", weight not to be disclosed, woman. 128. And instead of you getting shanked, you actually, what's in you starts to overwhelm what you're around by obedience to the word of God. The blessing works in prison. Ask Joseph. Ask Adalys. The blessing works out of prison. The blessing works in the city. The blessing works in the field. The blessing works when you come, and the blessing works when you go. I call you blessed in Jesus' name. But if you don't know what produces the blessing, then you're always chasing it because you don't know that it's actually commands you're obeying. See, I'd be very nervous right now if 23 million came in last year and I need about that to come in this year, but I don't know how to get it. You know, I just, well, we got lucky. No, I know. I know if you hearken unto my word, if you do what I tell you to do, don't question it. What negotiation took place when God told Abraham, give me your son, your only son, Isaac, and put him on the altar? There was no reply from Abraham. Yes, sir. See you at the mountain. And early the next day, Abraham departed. Instant, unnegotiated, unmitigated obedience to the commands of God produces, I will bless you as I blessed your father Abraham, because he obeyed everything I instructed him to do. You can pull up a bunch of articles and videos if you want about what I did when they told us we can't have church during COVID. I didn't do it to be rebellious. It is madness to me that if the Bible says I'm to take one day and meet in the house of God. I mean, you know, whether we're at home in the kitchen watching online or in the church, it's the same. No, it's not. You're a sellout. You can take, they'll fine you. Fine me. They could take my head. I don't care. You will take my head before I'll disobey God. Whatever was in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, that's the kind of Sunday school classes they had. How many of you are noticing a difference in your children that have had your children with my wife teaching them back there? Do you know why? They're not being taught by some half backslidden reject. They're being taught by somebody that goes into the men's violent offenders unit and fearlessly preaches. Those kids are mighty in God. They pray. They read the Bible. They're inviting people to church at their public schools because they're being imparted to by somebody that has an unwavering commitment to God. Hallelujah. Whatever's in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. O king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Our God is able to deliver us out of your furnace. But even if he doesn't, O king, we will never bow to your God and will never kiss his face. You take my head before you keep me from church. This church will never be canceled. If we're going to get 80 inches of snow, I'll drive here 2 days ahead of time and sleep in the parking lot till church starts on Sunday. You don't have to come. It will never, this church will close for the rapture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. That's it. Because there's one day a week where God will be honored in his house. I will never not do that. Ever. If you put soldiers in, you'll have to shoot me. All right, well, we were going to go, but then they had soldiers. Then you better be prepared to fire the gun, my friend. I don't care. I think you can tell by looking at my face, I mean what I'm saying. I've crossed all these bridges for 3 years, getting a call every other weekend. Hey, the Department of Health's going to come and shut the service. And then have them tell them to quit calling and do it. How come you're always calling and warning? Because you're not going to do it. I'm having church. I come from a family of insane people. My uncle had church in a lockdown city. He pastors in Virginia Beach, Virginia, lockdown central. He had a pretend outdoor service to hide the fact that the church was full inside. They had a pretend service outside. With like 11 people out there and a little stage and sound system in the church inside. Was don't mess with us. We're from West Virginia. We don't care. We don't care. We don't care. That's why this church has every kind of race of people in it, because you can tell I'm not racist, because I'm from West Virginia. West Virginians aren't racist. They don't like anybody, regardless of color. Can you say amen? An undying, unyielding commitment to God's commands guarantees enthronement in this life and in the life to come. Not just the life to come. That's why I called it having fun along the way. I'm having fun in the ministry. I'm going to have fun this afternoon. I'm going to have fun tonight at the expense of the Amish in Lancaster. I'm going to preach. I have fun in my meetings. This church is a fun church. We have a great time. It's happier than any place you can go in Pittsburgh. Can you say amen? Yeah, because it's not just blessing in the life to come. It's godliness is profitable. Say with me, godliness is profitable. Unto how many things? All things holding value in the life that now is and in the life that is to come. Unyielding, undying, uncompromised commitment to the clear teachings of Scripture guarantees overwhelming victory in life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible clearly says you can't curse. Man does not have the power to curse who God has blessed. And then the Bible tells you how to be blessed. Obey my decrees, my instructions, and my laws. I don't negotiate the tithe. I don't negotiate prayer. I don't negotiate study of the word. I don't negotiate being faithful to my wife. I don't negotiate anything. It's not negotiable. Whatever you say, it's done. I have a Middle Eastern commitment to God, not an American commitment to God. They tell people in the Middle East to pray five times a day in their religion. They double park their car illegally in Detroit or New York or wherever and go in and pray. And if you want to tow them, tow away. We're going to do what our God said. And here everything's negotiable. I think I have to be away that weekend. And you got the pastor calls. Hey, I haven't seen you in a couple of weeks. Yeah, I've been sad. But I don't pastor that church. I pastor a church of mighty men and mighty women of God who have an undying, unshakable, first century Book of Acts commitment to God. Anybody that gives you the excuse to not live Christianity that way, they are so derelict in their duty as a minister to tell you, hey, we're going to start church today. If you feel comfortable, you can stand and sing. If not, you can just stay seated and read the words, have some coffee. You have ruined the country. You have turned Christianity. You have stripped everything from it. You're a restaurant that serves no food. You're a cloud with no rain. You have given people a fake Christianity, and that's why they have to, all their sermons are answering questions. How come God doesn't heal? What do you do when God doesn't bless? What do you do when you're in your season of waiting? You're not going to be in a season of waiting. You're going to be in a lifetime of waiting because you can't come up with your own version of Christianity. You can't. There is no stay home and watch on Facebook Christianity. There isn't. The only reason I'm online is as an intake valve to get more people to come in here and in Texas. You know, we just ask our people to watch online today. It's going to be snowing. We're taking a Sabbath Sunday so our staff can rest. It took a lot out of them running the latte machine in the lobby last Sunday for 40 minutes. You have ruined this country. You, not the Democrats, not the Republicans, spineless, ballless preachers have ruined this nation by selling people they think they have it, but they don't have it. See, my dad told a story. My grandma's in heaven now on both sides. She's from a Scottish background. Okay, I'm not trying to be racist. Scottish people boil the hell out of food. They cook it. They cook a steak till it's a hockey puck. That's how my grandma made steak. My dad hated steak. Then when my grandfather was pastoring in Wisconsin, this rich family invited them over, and my dad had steak medium rare. And my father ate that and said, what is this? And they said, it's steak. My dad said, no, it's not. I've had steak. It's awful. This is amazing. They said, no, this is steak. What's this red? No, the meat's red. No, but when my mother makes it, it looks like a Pittsburgh Penguins hockey puck and tastes like it. You know, Adonis did that. Well, you know, our first date, I took Adonis to this steakhouse called Abe and Louie's in Boston. I had no business eating there. The meal cost $185. I had $209. And this is how good of a financial planner I was. Oh, I got enough. This is great. I got $14 left. Let's go to Dunkin' Donuts and spend the rest. Adonis orders a steak. They said, how would you like it done? She said, well done. I said, no. This relationship won't work unless you do at least medium. I can't be with someone I don't respect. So I got her to do medium. And she said, I've never had steak this good because nobody cooked it right. They served it to you wrong. And the reason why most of you have to be forced to go to church, or your punishment was to go to church till you got your algebra grade up to a B, was because they've been telling you it's steak, but it's a Scottish boiled hockey puck with the life boiled out of it. But at this church, we serve Christianity medium rare with a reverse sear, with the juice still in it. The goodness of God that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You're going to enjoy the goodness and blessing of God all of this year. In Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, shout yes. Yes. Turn to Psalm 1, the first psalm. If I ever go out to eat with somebody and they order their steak, well done. Just, I don't make them change, but I think there'll be a limitation as to how close we can be. Psalm 1. Now that I've alienated about 30% of the church. Psalm 1. Oh, the joys of those who don't follow the advice of the wicked. Or stand around with sinners. Or join in with mockers. But their delight, everybody say, my delight, is in what? Law of the Lord. And on which they meditate day and night. You know, I used to think God was having me preach twice a day, like I'm preaching this morning here. I'm going to preach tonight in Lancaster, then I'm going to do 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. I used to think he was doing it to help me, like, win the lost more or whatever. I feel like the main reason was for me. It turned me into it because the Bible's on my mind all day. Like, when I finish preaching now, I'll be thinking about it. It actually trained my mind on the Word, and it made me different. Happy. Happy is he. Blessed is he. You know the word blessed in the Amplified, the Hebrew is also translated happy. Everybody say, happy is he. Been serving the Lord for 40 years. I don't think so. Your face betrays your sentence. Happy is he. Hallelujah. What a joy to serve the Lord. That's the last preacher told me I have to preach three times this week. I went and quit. You don't like it. Sound like you have to do a triathlon. So don't do it. Something's wrong. I enjoy preaching. My highlight of the week, it's weird because I was going to stop preaching Sunday mornings permanently and start on Sunday nights because Sunday mornings were my least favorite service to do when I was an evangelist because it was all the like half backslidden people that wanted to, you know, people start checking their watch whatever time. There's no point in even preaching. It's like, hey, how many of you want to go home? Then let's go home. You came to go home. Your first question is, what time does this get over? So just go home. I don't go to anywhere I don't want to be, ever. Want to come to my child's birthday party? I don't. I will send a gift. I will not be there. Amen. But church, then this, I woke up before my alarm. I never wake up before my alarm, ever. Sunday morning, I actually have an excitement because our church doesn't have that kind of people. If we do, they get saved. You guys are like actual Christians. Amen. They don't have that at most churches. There's fighting. One deacon won't talk to another. They'll go to hell. You can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. Can you say amen? Amen. But their delight, everybody say, my delight is in the law of the Lord. Meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank. Hallelujah. In every season. How many seasons? This takes the seasons out of life. In every season. In the COVID lockdown, I doubled. After the lockdown was over, I doubled again. If Biden wins, I'll double again. If Trump wins, I'll double again. If Goofy and Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse team up and form a coalition and win the independent vote, I'll double under Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, and Goofy. I don't walk in seasons based on what's happening in the world. When I delight in doing what God says, the Bible says, in every season they bear fruit. I prophesy in the name of Jesus, the last dry season that you ever had will be the last dry season that you ever have. The last joyless season that you ever had will be the last joyless season that you ever have. From this day forward, the blessing overtakes you in the morning, overtakes you again at night. Blessed in the spring, blessed in the summer, blessed in the autumn, blessed in the winter. You are blessed in Jesus' mighty name. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive that blessing. Clap your hands. Let the Lord know. I receive what your word says. In every season, New Living Translation, in every season they bear fruit. Their leaves never wither. And whatsoever they do, they prosper. But not the wicked. They're like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They'll be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. How to avoid hell, make heaven, and have fun along the way. Proverbs 27:8. As a bird wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. As a bird wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. 2 Samuel 15:11 and 2 Samuel 18:7. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem. They were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. 2 Samuel 18:7, same group of men. And the Israelite troops were beaten back by David's men. There was a great slaughter that day, and 20,000 men lost their lives. Number one, don't leave your place. Don't disconnect from the house of God. 200 men followed Absalom out away from David, not knowing in their simplicity, not knowing what they're doing. Hey, you want to go out Sunday? I got Steelers tickets. Want to come? And they left in their simplicity, and they never returned. They were slaughtered. If the devil can root you out of church, he's already won 2/3 of the battle. Serve God with your body at his house. Psalm 84:7. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion that appeareth before God. They go from strength to strength. Everyone that appeareth before God at Zion. Hebrews chapter 12 tells you, Zion is the church of the firstborn. Everyone that appears before God. I have church in my heart. I know, I've met people like you. Your money's also trapped in your heart, and your healing's trapped in your heart. And there's no outward expression of your faith. Psalm 84:7, 10, and 12. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion that appeareth before God. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Going to church is an outward expression of your trust in God. Can you say amen? Amen. Number two, serve God with your money. Luke 12:34. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let me not move off of the faithfulness to God's house. There's some people, if I don't see them here, I would just assume the rapture happened and I missed it. Where's that lady, Kate? It's always at church. So, you know, I mean, she's at church more than me. None of these people are losers. They have plenty of other things going on. They clean the church, vacuum the church for no reason. They've treat God's house like it's their house, and then God treats their house like it's his house. These men that stand here, what do you think? He has nothing to do, or he's here by his parole officer said, because of what you did. Now you stand there. You're not even allowed to have a stool. All these guys that you see standing here, they're business owners. They're people that adore God in their hearts. What about when they wanted Jesus to heal that Gentile? And they said, come heal him, for he built us a temple. You don't get saved by works. But after you get saved, there should be works that prove your faith. Can you say amen? Faith without works is dead. You tell me about your faith, but I'll show you my faith by my works. James 1:2. Can you say amen? What about you? What's your faithfulness level to God's house? When your boss says you can go, then he's your boss. Then call him the next time you get a bad report about your health. Have him pray for you. Because you put him in God's place. I've told several people, it's a wonder why we have anyone come to this church at all. I've told parents here, my son needs prayer, he's battling depression. Have his Little League coach pray for him. Because he's only in church when he's not traveling for Little League. I'm not against baseball, I'm for baseball. And the way the Pirates are playing, I'm starting to get back into baseball. They must have forgot they're the Pirates. But nothing takes God's place. I told my hockey coach, who told us if we miss one practice, let alone a game, we're off the team. Excuse me, sir. 12 of our games are on Wednesday night out of our 20 games, and I won't be able to come to those 12 because I'm a Christian. Whatever, he said. He didn't cut me, just told me to get out of his office. And I left before he could change his mind. By the end, I was the captain, and he asked if I'd please come back to coach when I was done with college. I had no business coaching. I barely could make the team. He just liked having me around. You know what he said? We've had a bunch of Christians on this team. I've never had any of them tell me they can't come because they go to church. They actually, see, the reason people don't respect God is the only Christians they've met are Christians that don't respect God. You don't believe in anything. Other religions, they'll strap themselves with C4 and go blow a place up for belief in what they believe. And there's nothing that evidences that you serve God. They don't like me talking about Jesus at my job. Then they shouldn't have hired you. You don't serve God where it's expeditious to serve him and don't serve him when it's not. I am a Jesus man. They give me free alcohol when I go out to eat. No, thank you. I was with this old redneck preacher out in the Midwest, and it made me laugh so hard. He's probably 6'5", 350, big old Midwestern guy, about 70 years old. So the waiter comes and puts the wine list down, and with one big hand, he had a hand like a catcher's mitt, he took all the wine glasses, like five of them in one hand, they're like in his fingers, handed the wine glasses to him and went, "We're Holy Ghost." I've never seen a gay waiter so confused. Because even me, like, I kind of knew what he was talking about. We're Holy Ghost. We don't drink. You can take these cups off the table. I don't want them. You can also take that little menu. Everybody say, I serve the Lord. Say, I'm in his house. Those that appear before God at Zion, they go from strength to strength. Serve God with your money. Luke 12:34, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. One of the things that tithes and offerings does is it ties your heart into God. I was in Arizona preaching earlier this year. This kid, 23 years old, with a mullet and a baseball hat on, came up with tears in his eyes. And he said, "You're going to think I'm crazy, but the Lord spoke to me to give this to your wife." It was a .308 rifle with a Swarovski scope. It was the exact rifle Adonis wanted to go elk hunting with. I said, "I receive it." When we took it back to the plane, the pilot went, "What do you guys really do?" Is anyone a preacher come back with firearms? And then the next month, 3 weeks later, I was in Las Vegas. That kid comes up the aisle with a big grin on his face and his mother and two people that weren't with him in Phoenix. He said, "Did you know when I gave that to your wife, within a week, two other rifles had been given to me that are worth more than that one." He said, "I brought my mother and my two friends to come up to hear you 4.5 hours away." So what happened? He gave the rifle. God gave him a harvest back, but now I really believe this thing. See, giving is an expression of the heart, and where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Everybody say, honor the Lord with your wealth. Number three, be ever conscious of the reward. This is how you serve God. Hebrews 11:10. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. Abraham was confidently looking forward to the reward. I'm not going to Lancaster this week expecting trouble. Where we're going, you know, people are very... No. Everywhere I go, I expect the blessing of God. I told my nephew Jay when we went to Angola, I said, "I'm going to do something just to show you how this works." I said, "Most preachers, if they were going to Angola, would say, where we're going is very poor. The people don't have any money." I said, "Now you watch. I'm keeping my faith turned on. Watch how God will bless us before we leave here." We're at the lounge waiting to leave in Luanda, and a lady messages me on Instagram. "I saw you preach in South Africa when I was a young lady. I work at this airport. Can I come see you at the lounge?" I had my nephew with me, so I said, "Sure." She came in and brought a Gucci top. I looked it up. It was worth $3,800 US for a dollar. I felt to bring this. When I showed Jay, I said, "See, God doesn't need me to be in New York to bless me. God will bless me anywhere because I'm blessed." Everybody say, blessed in the city. Blessed in the field. Blessed when I come in. Blessed when I go out. When I do anything I do for the Lord, I'm not doing it that you better bless me, but because you said you'd bless me. See, you've heard people say the opposite. Whether he ever blesses us or not, what do you mean? You're calling God. You are insinuating that God's a liar. Hebrews 11:6. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God never told anybody to obey him, ever, without talking to them about the reward. Abraham, leave your father's family, leave your native country, and go to the land that I will show you. And if you do, I will bless you. I will make you great. I will multiply your seed. I will give this land to you and your descendants forever. The blessing will be to 1,000 generations. God doesn't expect you to serve him for nothing. There is a blessing for serving God that's greater than anything you could ever get in this world. If you can testify to that, let your hand clap and shout. Be the loudest. It's a good thing to serve the Lord. Say it so the devil can hear you. I am not a Sunday Christian. I am a 24-hour a day, 7 days a week Christian. Serve him in the morning, serve him at night, and have practical service to God.
We started a coffee shop and we have track.
No, you do something in church. You do something that
you want people to do in your church.
Go do it in another church. But you should have practical expression of your faith in a church. You don't end up like all these loser ministries all over the country of people that won't plug into a church.
We meet on the third Thursday of every month for prayer at my house.
All I hear is, won't have a pastor. Some of you knew me before I started this church. Was I in church or not? Well, I was in church. When I go on vacation, I go on church. I go to the kind that I preach against, like one that's out in 80 minutes because I'm on vacation, but I do go. I do what I tell people not to. I look at the pastor all the time and go like this.
And finally, be ever conscious of the reward. Serve God with your money. Serve God with your body at his house.
See, I was going to deal with sin and stuff. But if you do all the stuff I'm telling you, there's no time to sin. I have no time to sin today. If I wanted to sin, I'm too tired and I don't have time. I have programmed my life to serve God. Where you fall into sin is when the kings went to war, David stayed home. You stop engaging in God's work. What ministry? You should be. It should not be too many weeks before you're plugged into a ministry here. Now, the altar call today is going to be a membership altar call. We did this one other time. Everybody that's here. Now, if you don't want to come here, I'm not forcing anyone. I don't have a checklist. I'm leaving directly after the service. You should be a part of something here. You're not some ungifted loser. There's something you can do. Youth ministry. Young adults ministry, we just launched a campus church at the University of Pittsburgh. We need bodies. We need people that will put their hand to the plow. I don't call people. I'm not calling. I don't want that kind of church.
Hey, I haven't seen you in 3 weeks. Everything okay?
How can I make it any more clear that I'd like you here every Sunday? I want you here every Sunday. You know that. I'm not calling you. Then you're just going to feel weird, and you're going to come the next week looking weird, and then there's going to be weirdness between us, and then you're going to leave 3 weeks later. True or false? Nobody's gone to church. You know, we actually left church, but then the pastor called us, so we felt bad, and we went for the next 16 years. No. You'll come one time, you'll say you're sorry, and you can't serve God that way. Adonis can't get me to love her, but, you know, you don't ever love me. No, I love her. There's expression of love. Can you say amen? Sunday morning is roll call of who's still in love with God. Tell me what valid excuse I could have to not be in church today. That isn't basically just, you know, yeah, I did that. Be careful of the truth that you once received so you don't drift away from it. You know what? We're starting a new ministry as of right now. We had six people. How many people went fishing yesterday, Chris? Seven people went fishing from the church, unorganized. I want everybody to hear me that's here. This is now a business meeting. I've mentioned these ministries. I want people in charge of them, capable men and capable women. Where's the lady that does the Revival Today Moms, Bloom? Is she here? You've been doing it? That's great. And then there's another lady that speaks at it. You guys are doing a great job. I want capable people in charge of these things. So today we start Revival Today Anglers. If you like to fish, that's what the ministry is. You go fishing.
See, our small groups don't have devotionals because you actually get to hear the Bible on Sunday, unlike the churches that need small groups, where there has to be small groups to get prayer and hear the word because there's nothing spiritual in the service. But ours are fellowship groups. And you're going to end up talking about the things of God. My wife in that hunting and gun club helped save a marriage. They opened up to her. It's good to be around people of like faith. You can't, as a pastor, call people to leave everything and give them nothing. There is a family here for you to join. I feel like I'm giving the orientation talk at a meeting of the Bloods and Crips. We are a family here for you to join. Can you say amen? Amen. But we will not be starting revival today at Drive-By Shooting Club. Because gas is too expensive. Revival today, anglers. I want that Revival Today hunting club up and running. There's something to hunt every season. Let's get it going. Let's get men hunting, because you know they won't come to church, but they'll come hunting. Then they make friends. Then they come to church. When's UFC 300? This Saturday? Where am I? With the employees at Banana Republic? When's UFC 300? This Saturday? We're having it at the church. It is called Total Bro Night of Visibility. I want every man at this church. It's free to attend. Did you know we serve food? It's free. There's no offering taken. We're going to watch this fight at 107 on the big 4K screen. And we paid UFC the licensing fee to use their name. So when you go on UFC.com and type in Pittsburgh, it gives you two places to watch. Rivers Casino, Revival Today Church. It's right on the UFC website. Can you say amen? Thank you, Brother Dana White. God bless you. Get guys there. Bring your friends. Let's have fun. There's not going to be some loser that gets up at the end and ruins the night. Now, we've had a lot of fun tonight, but if you were to die... Okay, I don't want to talk about that. They'll come to church. They come to church. Those things are 4 hours long. You're not going to talk to other men in the church all that time and then say, hey, we're going to church tomorrow. I want to come. They come. They get saved. Let's get this thing humming. Hunting, fishing, the men's ministry where we watch UFC together and eat wings and stuff. And we got a bunch of other ministries here that I'm not going to go into because I think we're up to about 50. But you hear me, Pastor Augustine? You tell Brother Kofi, let's get this thing humming. Let's get all these ministries. Put somebody in charge. The Veterans Brigade is down to like 3 people because it turned into devotionals, which it was never supposed to be. Make it a fellowship group. Go out shooting together. Bump fists. Eat meat. They'll get fed here spiritually. Can you say amen? Make sure those meetings, make sure those groups grow. If they're not growing, put somebody else in charge. Everything with God is supposed to grow. Can you say amen? Amen. Let me have the singers up. Oh, man, the musicians just abandoned me. Just took off. Holy moly. Nice to have Union 101 here. Jackets off. How long did you think this sermon was going to be? A guy's taking a nap in the back with a crocheted blanket. This final point, this is the way to guarantee that your heart never goes away from God. Romans 1, 21 to 22. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him or give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. Do you go to church? No, I don't. Do you know about crystals? That's what this is talking about. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. Put Psalm 150, verse 6 up. The Bible tells you about how a nation begins to deteriorate. They would not, they knew God. We have them inscribed on all our buildings, but they wouldn't take 168 hours in every week. You wouldn't take 3 hours to come to his house and give you 165 for yourself, three for God. You want to do it. You want to give him thanks. All God wants is to be thanked. He's not difficult. Take the first hours of a week and remind me that you know that I gave you everything you have and give me thanks. That I sent my son to die for you. That I opened my good treasure to you. Give me praise. Give me thanksgiving. But because they want to do it, their minds became dark and confused. That's where America's at. They don't know what a man is. They can't define a woman. They can't define anything. Because when you don't give God his thanks, your mind gets dark and confused. But when you return thanks unto God, he opens unto you his good treasury. He illuminates your mind. And he blesses the nation. I said he blesses the nation. So what you've done today, make it a lifestyle. See anything that would pull you out of this place, God's house, as an enemy to your soul. Hey, we can give you a $21,000 a year raise. Only thing is you have to start working Sundays. That is going to happen. You understand? When the seed comes, the enemy comes at once to take it away. People can't spot it. That's not a promotion. That's the devil trying to buy you out of God's house for $21,000. But you will never bow to that God in Jesus' name. You make a decision today. I am going to stand for God. I'm going to serve the Lord with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength. I've run the time too long. But the Bible says in Psalm 156, let everything that breathes praise ye the Lord. One chorus, one time through, of something that's got heavy praise on it. Everybody stand and lift both hands. Nobody moving around. Let's pay this debt off. People think they're debt free. They're actually heavily in debt. They owe a debt of praise to God. But you're going to pay that debt right now. In Jesus' name. Lift your hands and sing whatever Sister Clarita leads you. Perfect thing in my life. In Jesus' name. Everyone be seated. Every head bowed, every eye closed. when we have a different invitation, Fort Worth and Pittsburgh. Whether you're doing this for the first time or long time, if you say, Jonathan, the Bible says, as a bird wandereth from his nest, so is a man who leaves his place. I know God has sent me to this place. I'm going to commit. I'm not going to have a vague commitment to God. I'm going to give myself to see God's kingdom established through this church. That's what membership is. Not just so you can be on a list and us have your text number or whatever. I am committing to the cause of Christ through this church. Not going to have some imaginary thing of like, yes, I serve God in my heart. I like in my own way. And sometimes I'll go out in the forest and just craft a poem unto him. I'm talking about like last week. Last week we had 3,000 people in Fort Worth and 2,002 here. Two mass crusades at once and just under 1,000 people saved in one weekend. New people in Pittsburgh. So that's from people being a part of an organized effort. You don't join the military and just grab an M16, put on some camo and go do whatever you want. You join, there's order. That's what the church is. It's not every man for himself. There's order. I want to be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in this last day, whether it's the anglers, hunting. You know, Chris back there, he wouldn't consider himself a minister. He's led people to the Lord, multiple people, taking them fishing and hunting and stuff and bringing them here. God will use you. We're opening up that gym. People will work out. You'll talk to them. Barbers are leading people to the Lord. Left and right. Chuck Ondo and Matt have brought more people to church from their barbershop than most evangelists have in their whole ministry. I want, if this thing's going to grow where we take over PPG Paints Arena, and we will, we need Green Beret Navy SEAL Christians. No one's ever going to have to call and check up on me. I'm in this thing till my last breath. If you commit or recommit to that today, I want you to stand on your feet. No pressure. Your standing is in the presence of God. I commit to be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be a member of Revival Today Church. I want to advance the vision that God has put on this house to win the lost and disciple. I want to do that. I give myself to it, a faithful member of the church. Now, if you have never attended the membership class, then where is it? Pastor Augustine, stay with me. They have food for you. They have lunch. If more people come than what we have food for, that never happens. We have tons of food. I showed you the graph. We have $1 zillion. You'll be well taken care of. I want every person that stood up and meant business with God. Wherever you're standing right now, lift your hands to the Lord. Pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I turn my back on my own way of doing things. I give you my heart. Use me in your kingdom. In Jesus' name. I think we're at about, I don't know how many members. It's a lot. But it's not enough till you're one of them. Faithful in it. I'm telling you, you're not going to be disappointed giving yourself to this thing. It's not going to fail. I'm not going to go wonky. I'm not getting another woman. I barely could get one. Hallelujah. If you'll do this, you will see this is not manipulation. I read it to you out of the Bible. God will bless you as you give your efforts to see his kingdom established. You're going to make some of the best friends you've ever made in your whole life. Pastor Augustine, they're going to follow you to where? Okay, so Brother Augustine's going to be like the Pied Piper. He's going to lead a processional down in Fort Worth. Somebody take control of the service. Pastor Jay or whoever's down there. And I want people to join, even if they don't have membership plan, I want you to do it today. I want to be a part of this thing. I want signed up. I want to use my life to advance God's agenda. Go ahead. Follow Pastor Augustine. Move at a quicker pace. Move more at a New York pace than a Mississippi pace. Come on, give them a hand clap as they head that way. This is your day. I'm going to be a part of this last move of God on the earth. Everybody that already signed up for membership, you can go with them. You can go with them. You can pretend to be a member just so you can leave 3 minutes earlier. Up to you. Go ahead. That's a lot of people. That's good. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Stand on your feet, everybody. Lift your hands. As you've heard the word of God today, receive an impartation of faith and strength to serve God with an undying passion. The last time you ever compromise will be the last time you ever compromise. From this day forward, you go forward ever and backward never. You're planted in God's house. In Jesus' name. This month of April is declared to be your month of unfathomable breaking and blessing. In Jesus' name. Every breakthrough that's been held back, it comes your way now. In Jesus' name. The harder you follow after God, the harder His blessings follow after you. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. You can put your hands down and look up at me. I know it sounds like I'm trying to duck out of prayer. People, I need prayer. No. Do what I said today and watch all your problems get washed away. What you make happen for God's kingdom, God makes happen for you. Ministers do people a disservice. Why is the pastor always the one that's the most blessed in the church? Because he's doing it. He's praying. I need prayer. He's praying. He's giving the word. If you do it, you'll have it too. So you get charged here, find your lane, go punch the devil in the mouth, and we come back every Sunday with a new harvest of souls, rejoicing as how the Lord has empowered us to destroy the hold of the devil. That's how you practically see a city shaken. Can you say amen? Lift your hands one last time. You are declared blessed. This week is declared to be blessed. Nobody is allowed to come back next Sunday without a testimony of how the Lord has done great things for you. In Jesus' name, whatever God has done for you up until this point, the best is yet to come. So rejoice and be glad, for the Lord has given you the victory. If you receive that today, give the Lord a great hand clap and shout. Come on, one more time. Rejoice unto the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Say, I am blessed. All the men say, I'm a covenant man. All the women say, I'm a covenant woman. I do what the Bible says. So I have what the Bible has. In Jesus' name. We have to be off this field in 9 minutes and 40 seconds. So please don't greet anyone. Act like people from Vermont. Don't talk to anybody. Grab a chair. Get out of here and have a great lunch. We will see you on Wednesday. We will see you on Sunday. God bless every one of you in Jesus' name. Have the best week that you've ever had.
Thank you for sharing the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. If you're interested in supporting our mission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, please visit revivaltoday.com and click on Give Now to become one of our monthly partners. Thank you in advance. We hope to see you soon.